Welcome to Cleveland Moto, a vintage motorcycle podcast by people who wrench and ride. We'll be bringing you Vin Moto chat each week, so sit back, relax, and crack a beer. Or play us over the speakers in your shop while working on your latest project. Cleveland Moto, here's your host, Phil Waters.
And welcome to another fun-filled adventure of the Cleveland Moto Podcast. Tonight we're being brought to you semi-live from the beautiful shores of lovely Lake Erie, the best location in the nation. We're not kidding you. We are literally 20 feet from the water. We're down
if
here.
That.
Yeah, we're down here by my house on our little private beach. We just did some skinny dipping, and it was fantastic. You feel cleaner?
I do.
I feel cleaner.
I got the grease off.
That just proves that you can swim in Lake Erie and feel cleaner. We've got Dustin. Dustin brought down his little R2 unit for us to talk to. Josh D is here. Josh has come. Josh, where the hell? Let's hear where you've been.
Denver via LA via Ann Arbor, Michigan.
Lately.
In Omaha.
And Josh D is a longtime friend of mine in the motor scooter community.
God bless.
And he's one of the Jedi Knights. And right now with Josh D being in Cleveland, we now have 4 Jedi Knights in Cleveland.
Wow.
And yeah, and that's saying something.
It's a large active club nowadays.
It is a large active club nowadays. And in the Jedi Knights, one of the rules of the Jedi Knights is you have to build your own scooter. You got to build your own bike. Just like a Jedi has to build his own lightsaber.
True story.
A Jedi Knight has to build his own scooter. And you've got to ride. You got to be fired up. Fired up isn't subject to interpretation. But, so Josh is here and he's working at Cleveland Moto while he's in town. Emmy's here. Emmy is our new mechanic at our East Side location, our Cleveland Moto location and mentor. Emmy, how the hell did you get hired at a goddamn Cleveland Moto? How did you get hired to wrench on motorcycles?
I sent you an email saying I wanted to work.
That's all it takes? Shit.
Yeah.
That's how I got the job.
I sent you, Wayne, and James an email saying I wanted to work.
What kind of bike do you ride?
CB500.
A CB500 in luscious chocolate brown. We call it sexual chocolate.
73.
It's a 73. And
Field find.
It's a
bike.
Field find?
Yeah.
How did you buy your CB500? What was the deal with that? How did you get that bike?
My friend's aunt was selling 2 bikes. Needed to get them out of the field. I got a 500.
Out of the field?
Yeah.
They weren't even in the barn?
No.
Oh, no.
They were in a field.
They were in a field? So what was the 2 bike combo?
500,
550. A 500 and a 550. Wow. So you got 8 cylinders, and you got 1,050 cc's for the princely price of how much?
$500.
So did either one of them have titles?
Both titles.
Holy shit, they both had titles. Damn. She rides the CB500.
The 550 was supposed to be the runner.
What? Really?
When they sent me the photos, they're like, we have these 2 bikes. The 550 is the runner. The 500 is the parts bike.
Oh, geez. Huh.
However, the 550 had no carbs.
Well, that's not really a runner.
No. They have sat for who knows how long.
In a field.
In a field.
In a field.
Well, the person I bought them from got them 5 years ago.
Okay.
All right. Never switched the titles.
Okay. So they floated the titles. Titles were open.
None of them were running when they got them. But they told me the 550 was the one that was going to run.
Okay.
And I was like, well, there's no carbs on the 550. It's not going to run.
It's not going to run.
It will not be the runner until I find carbs for it.
Right.
So we got the 500 running in like 2 days.
Yeah.
Just messing around with.
I mean, it had carbs.
Yeah.
Right.
I cleaned the carbs. Changed out the points.
Yeah.
That was it.
How was the gas tank on that one?
Clean.
It was really? So somebody had the presence of mind to, like, close the gas cap?
They closed the gas cap. It was a little rusty. We did the toilet bowl clean on it.
Okay.
Toilet bowl clean?
Was it? Did you guys use, like, liquid plumber?
Yeah.
Okay, liquid plumber.
You throw a liquid plumber in it, shake it around.
Yeah.
Kerosene.
Yeah.
Shake it around.
Yeah.
Gas it up.
That's pretty good. That's
It cleaned it right out. I mean, there wasn't a ton of rust, but.
Now, did it have?
This is going to lead into my tank cleaning.
Excellent.
What I just had to do. So.
Yeah.
Did when you got the bike, did it have those Jardines, those 4 into 2s on it? Those pipes?
Mm-hmm.
Emmy's bike won the contest at Cleveland Moto. One night we were drinking and hanging around the shop. It was late. And was that the night that we decided we were going to go to the bike night at Quaker Steak and Lube?
I believe so.
Yeah, and we went to the bike night, and it was less than exciting. And we left there, and we went back to the shop and decided we were going to have our own party, surrounded by bikes we love. And her bike was running a little weird, so we did a little tiny bit of work on her bike, and it just woke right up. But her bike...
It was just an air adjustment.
Yeah, literally, it was an air fuel mixture adjustment on the carbs. And it came right around and was lovely after that. And we fired her bike up, and with these 4-2 Jardines... Now, if you don't know what the Jardines are, on the period bikes, those 70s bikes, they're a four-cylinder bike that goes out 2-1 on each side. And these are turnouts, like what you'd expect to see under like an old 70s rape van. And so they move back, and they're about 4 inches in diameter. They're huge. And they go back into this beautiful turnout slash cut. And it's just, they sound fantastic. They will make any four-cylinder bike sound really, really good.
With all the holes in them.
And her bikes, they look like Swiss cheese on the bottom. But we were cranking it. And we cranked her bike, and it made the shop sound awesome and filled it with smoke. And while it was running, I was like, well, we got some other bikes. We need to listen to a lot of different bikes tonight. So we fired up a Royal Enfield with a custom pipe on it. We fired up a Moto Guzzi. We fired up a couple other Hondas. And at the end of the night, this little 500 four-cylinder sounded better than any other goddamn bike in there. So it was funny that I didn't expect that the 500 four-cylinder would sound the best, but it did. It sounded really fucking good.
Sounds good.
Yeah, if you're ever roaming around and you find a set of those turnout Jardines, grab them, because you can get them cheap and they sound really good. That's a pretty awesome run. We're just getting ready to go to Mid-Ohio. Next week's Mid-Ohio. If nobody knows what Mid-Ohio is, it's down at the Mid-Ohio Sports Car Course. And the American Motorcyclists Association puts on vintage days. So we'll all be down there buying and selling vintage, very cool vintage motorcycles. And they race vintage motorcycles the whole weekend while we're down there. So it's camping, it's hanging out with your friends, meeting new friends, too, from all over the place. A lot of the guys from the Do the Ton forum come out. We met people in previous years from Austin, Texas, Dallas, Chicago. Larry and all his buddies come out from Chicago and really make a good time of it. One of my favorite places to be. For me, it's like a little weekend adventure where I go out and just do nothing but motorcycles for 3 or 4 days. And it's kind of like my own little slice of heaven. And if there was any vintage motorcycle or vintage motorcycle part you were hunting for, if it ain't on that, like, what do you think that is? Like a mile square?
Easily.
If it ain't on that spot with 1,200 vendors, if it ain't there, it don't exist, man. You can just write it off. You're never going to find one. So it's pretty exciting for us to go down there. We usually go through our warehouses and we find all the bikes that we want to get rid of. And we get rid of them down there, but we always bring home more than we take down. So it's a good trip for us. Dustin, you've been building that CB750. I've been looking at your progress. How's that thing going, man?
It's coming along, man.
So you got your wheels laced up.
Get the wheels laced up. Getting the tank and everything done right now. Actually, getting ready for body work. Body work's about done. There you go.
Oh, Emmy's popping
right
a beer. Did
right
it go?
On.
I'm still.
Come on, Emmy, you can do it.
I heard
a pop. Lighter.
Yeah, you want my big lighter?
No,
oh,
there
was
we
that?
Go.
Okay, what was that you just opened?
Angry bitch.
That was an angry bitch.
Excellent.
Is that a Belgian?
Oh, a raging bitch.
Raging bitch. That's a Belgian style India.
And we got the cap drop too, so that was nice.
Yeah, mm-hmm. An IPA. That was good. That was a good one.
Yeah, right now with the 750, man, everything I'm stuck on is just. You know, I get to a point, and it's like, oh, crap, I need that part.
Yeah.
And the part's not available, so I have to order it.
Now, what was kind of funny, we had to move my warehouse recently in a rather...
Well, that just steered us right out of the 750 conversation.
Well, no, but this is going to move us right back into the 750 conversation. Because we had to move my warehouse, and while we were moving my warehouse, Dustin found the other half of his motorcycle.
Oh, God. Wait, did I tell you those keys worked?
No way!
Yep.
Oh, you're kidding.
They worked.
Ah.
This
There's bike, only so many keys they made.
Well, this bike had an ignition, but no keys.
Oh, yeah?
From Gorby.
Yeah. Now, the whole thing with the bike was, it was two bikes, right. And one of them was spray-painted the entire bike from top to bottom. I'm talking even the grease on the chain.
Teal green, baby.
Was spray-painted teal green.
We talked about this in a previous podcast.
We did.
Yeah.
And when we were moving your warehouse, I saw the one seat lock with a pair of keys stuck in it. And I'm like, laughing, huh? Wouldn't that be great if those were my keys? And I looked inside the seat lock, and I saw a hint of teal green spray paint. And I'm like, you've got to be shitting me. They might be it.
Well, fair enough. I mean, any vintage Honda only has so many keys made for
it. That's true.
You can find...
Oh yeah, and that's what Mid Ohio's for.
But well,
that's
very true. How many
were spray painted? But
that
teal green.
That teal green spray paint left a marker.
Yeah.
And I grabbed those keys out of that seat lock and I threw them in my pocket. And when I took them home,
are you still an atheist?
I am. When I went home, I grabbed the ignition that I had. I sifted through all the boxes that I had and I found the ignition. Wow. I put the keys in. I turned the key and it turned.
Nice.
Now. Now I got keys.
That's a major time saver.
Yeah, big time. But, the bike's come along great.
Which pipe did you put on there?
I put the Mac 4-1 that I bought off some random dude on Craigslist.
Really?
Yeah, cool. The guy that I got the tank and the side panels and everything off of. It was like a $60 purchase. And I got the Mac 4-1 thrown in on that.
Awesome.
Oh, and I took the baffle out. I cut the baffle apart. I ran a drift through it, and I straightened everything out, and I welded together a competition baffle for it.
Oh, cool.
It's what Mac used to call their competition baffle.
Yeah, that was
baffle.
Their racing baffle.
It was, it was the straight through.
Right.
I mean, it's a really mellow. Really easy job to do with the old Macs. They have that stupid, shitty baffle in them.
Yeah.
You take it and just cut it apart. Mark your length for how long the actual baffle was.
Right.
Cut the two pieces apart, reassemble it to that length, and then cut the pipes so they fit.
So they fit.
Yeah, run a drift through them so they're straight.
Right.
Weld it together.
Yeah.
And then just put it in drill press and drill a shit ton of holes in it. Yeah, and then after that...
How many holes is a shit ton?
I'm...
1,000 metric ass loads.
Yeah, that is. You're right. It's not quite a fuckload,
right?
But it's a
but
shit
it's close.
Yeah, it's if you reach a fuckload, you're probably gonna your structural rigidity is gonna
it's gonna fall apart.
It's gonna be
it'll
bad.
Blow right out.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, and then you wrap it in glass pack and some safety wire, and you pack it in there, and you got a nice sounding muffler. I did the same muffler. I did the same thing for my CB350.
Yeah.
And that muffler sounds amazing.
Oh, it sounds really good. That's cool.
But the biggest thing with that pipe, or I'm sorry, not pipe with that bike. And I know you guys have been experiencing this at the shop, too, with the tank lining.
Yes, yeah.
We've all been through the whole tank lining thing.
Wow, yeah, cream is not your friend.
Yeah, cream sucks.
Yeah.
Pour 15 we all thought was great until it fails on us.
Yeah, until it fails, PR15's awesome.
Yeah.
And then when it fails, it's just as much trouble as everything else.
But I don't know who discovered it. I think it was Mark.
Yeah, Caswell.
Yeah, Mark McDermott. He discovered Caswell Plating.
Right.
Which is a great company.
And now, isn't that a home electroplating system?
That's what they started. They do a lot of hot rod stuff.
Yeah.
And Caswell started as like doing home electroplating and all kinds of
stuff. Because you can zinc all your hardware and shit.
You can. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Actually, that's amazingly easy. That's probably a topic for another podcast.
Yeah.
But their kit they sell for lining tanks is just absolutely amazing.
Wow, that's just that would be a Cleveland Moto recommendation for Caswell.
Yeah.
That's a future sponsor.
And and Caswell should sponsor us because there will not be a lined tank coming out of Cleveland Moto that is not lined with Caswell.
Right. I totally agree. Yeah. I think if we're going to do it, we've got a good system at the shop that we use a chemical composition that we're not going to reveal to anybody for cleaning out the tanks, and it works beautiful. We just resurrected, what was that? Was that a Honda XL125 dirt bike that we did for Sydney?
Yeah, Sydney's.
That tank looks, you could eat off of any part of the inside of this tank, and this was not.
And I did do that secret process first, too.
Garbage tank. I mean, this tank was so bad when you looked inside of it. And after like 2 days and at least a couple of days in the hot sun, that tank looked gorgeous. All the rust floated out of it. And we're not going to tell people what the chemical compound is that we used because I want to keep that a secret for us.
See, I messed my tank up. My tank, when I first got my 500, the tank was very, it was nice.
Mm-hmm.
And we did the...
You did the liquid plumber?
No.
Oh.
We did that second.
Mm.
Because the first time we did the water with sea salt hooked to a battery.
Oh, yeah.
A screwdriver.
Yeah. Yeah,
Electrolysis.
That's electrolysis.
Totally flashed my tank.
Yeah, no. You don't want to do sea salt. Wow, why would they put salt in there? Who put salt in there?
It flashed my tank.
Yeah, no,
you use like the alkaloid from like battery acid.
Battery acid. Yeah.
Well, we did water, sea salt, hooked to a battery.
Yeah, that's not going to
work. No, bad.
It cleaned it out good, but then 2 days later, flashed.
Flashed, yeah.
Well, no, anything's going to flash, too. Even the secret method that we spoke of, if you clean your tank with it and then just let it sit there, it's going to flash.
You'll notice that when we do that, the first thing we do after we use our method is we WD-40, water dispersal.
Mm-hmm.
WD stands for water dissipating. We WD-40 the inside of it pretty heavily. So this way it's virgin.
Yeah.
And you put gas in it, you're good to go.
We didn't do that.
Yeah.
If you're going to line it, don't do the WD-40.
Right.
But if you're just going to go throw gas in it.
If you're going to go natural.
If it was a good enough tank to begin with and you just wanted to get a little bit of rust out of it, you know, do that process, WD-40, put the gas in, you're done. But, like, you know, in the case of port, the tank that I had was absolute shit.
Right.
And it was full of holes.
See, my tank was
Swiss cheese.
Yeah.
But it totally flashed after the sea salt method.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Well, it's going to, because there's salt, and there's water, and there's metal.
Yeah.
You know, those three things right there will rust.
The plumber.
Yeah. That did a great job.
It cleaned it right out.
Yeah.
Kerosene right after that to get any water vapor out.
Yeah.
Gasoline. Good.
And so the Caswell, now you tried that, you had a bunch of pinholes in your tank.
A lot of pinholes.
So and that Caswell did a good job of filling that up.
It is a super hard shell inside that tank right
What's
now.
What's the process with Caswell?
It's amazingly easy.
Yeah.
It is actually ridiculously easy.
Is it a two-part?
It's a two-part epoxy.
Okay.
And you can actually pour it over rust.
Oh really?
Yeah, you could.
Weird about putting that in the gas tank, though.
You can freeze your rust in time if you want to.
And so if you're super lazy, this is the way to go.
Right.
If you want to fossilize,
or if you want to,
want to preserve the rust.
I'm scared about that.
Because the rust is a part of
the gas. Eventually,
the
needs to come out of the tank, and I'm always worried about the tap hole.
I'm
obstructing it.
There's ways around that.
That's probably why my reserve doesn't work so well.
The Caswell itself stays kind of viscous for a while.
Okay.
You know, it'll harden up into a really thick gel after about an hour.
Okay.
So you're
you got
working
a little bit of time to work.
Your working time with it is like an hour.
Okay.
So for an hour, like all I did was flip the tank into different angles.
Right. Just keep moving it.
Yeah. When I first put it in, I shook the tank like crazy.
Good.
And then for an hour, I
with the petcock in or out?
No. Out, and then you just put duct tape over it. And I took my iPhone and I set it in 3-minute intervals on the timer. So every 3 minutes I flip the tank.
Yeah.
So my iPhone would go bing and I would flip the tank.
Yeah.
And I did that for an hour. And then after the hour is up, you know, I checked it out and I made sure it was dispersed everywhere.
Right.
And I peeled off my duct tape from under where the petcock went.
Right.
And I just put it over a trash can so any extra would leak out.
Okay.
And in my case, none leaked out.
Okay.
It was good to go.
It was good to go.
And then I just took a nice, you know, sharp tool, and I poked through the screw holes for the petcock.
Yeah.
And the bung for the petcock.
Okay.
Made sure it was clear. And then I ran a screw through the threads.
Right. Clean the threads up.
I cleaned them out really good, because it was viscous enough at that point where it wasn't going to dip in there.
Right.
And then for the rest of the night, I flipped it over with the the fuel inlet down.
Down.
Yeah. Into a can, and I let it sit that way for the rest of the night.
Yeah.
So nothing would drip into where the petcock would go.
Oh, there you go.
And it's when I checked it this morning, it was just rock hard.
Good.
Well, that's good to go.
Fantastic. We have a device that we built, and it's the. It's sort of the. What do you call it? It's not a carousel. It's a. The merry-go-round. It's the one that goes up and down.
Ferris wheel.
Ferris wheel. Yeah. We built a Ferris wheel for gas tanks. And we had a display thing that you put like a bike on, and it would rotate the bike so the customers could see it. And it would rotate the bike in a circle so customers could see the bike from all 360 degrees. We stopped using it. I mean, we inherited this thing. And
because we don't want people to see all 360
well,
degrees.
It just takes up a lot of room, and it's weird. So we put it sideways, and we built a deck
kinda
on
tarny.
It with a bunch of straps. And so you strap the gas tank to it, and you plug it in, and you just let it go, and you walk away from it. And it just rotates the gas tank upside down. So the gas tank gets to spend, you know, a couple of days of its life on the
But you forgot to mention you got to throw, like, a whole thing of BBs or a box of drywall nails. Yeah, drywall screws
are the best. They're so sharp.
Yeah.
Yeah, they work so good. They clean up the whole inside of the tank really good. And if you use the, if you use that... That thing works really, really good. And it just sits there and it just rotates. And the tank's just rotating. You can hear the drywall screws just clingity, cling, 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 cling. And they're magnetic, so you can fish them out real easy. Mm. Yeah, it works out pretty good.
I know guys that'll pick up dryers, old clothing dryers.
Old clothes dryers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, off of Craigslist. You know, people like Curb Alert, dryer right. works.
Go get it.
And they'll go pick it up just to rotate tanks.
Just to rotate tanks. Yeah, that's a good way to do it.
Yeah, because you do the whole box of drywall screws, right. and you duct tape an old sleeping bag or a blanket around it,
yeah.
and throw it in the dryer.
What wiring harness are you going to use in that CB750? Come on, man.
Well, I took the stock harness,
right.
and I stripped the whole thing down into individual wires.
Okay, yeah. yeah.
Because I wanted to use all the color-coded Honda wires in
it. Yeah, make it so that you can work on it in the future or somebody else can work on it.
Right, right, exactly. And the main thing was so somebody else in the future could work on it.
Right.
So I parceled out the wires, and I've got the entire bike wired up with about five wires.
Five wires?
About nice. Five, yeah.
Cool.
I have a wire from the starter. I've got the power.
Yeah.
I've got the brake light and a ground. And most everything is locally grounded, so the headlight will be locally grounded to the headlight bucket. The taillight will be locally grounded to the rear.
Okay.
And, yeah, that's about it.
Cool.
You know, then the coil wires and all that.
Yeah, so, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, it's just Honda really over-engineered their wiring harnesses.
Yeah, they did. And that's one of the biggest problems that they have is a lot of that, if people get in there and hack it up, you end up finding a lot of stuff where it's not supposed to be, and it's very easy to end up with shorts all over the place.
Yeah, and there's just a ton of redundancy because, you know, your black services the power in a Honda bike.
Oh, there you go.
Except for if you're talking about the idiot lights, which are the power is serviced by the brown with the white tracer. Oh, hey, we got fireworks.
We had a Roman candle.
Excellent.
Hey. Oh,
whoa. There
you go. Red.
Hey.
That was nice.
Come on.
Oh,
hey.
Blue. That's blue.
Oh, I'm getting sparked.
You're getting sparked on.
Yeah, it's all right, though.
Oh, hold on. Go that way. Oh, that was a good one.
Yeah, nice.
Excellent.
Very cool. And another blue. One's, oh, there you go.
Yay.
Nice. Good audio. Is that it? Come on, baby. You can do more.
That was the finale.
That was totally the finale.
Boo.
Week. Yeah.
Boo.
The we had a friend of ours just offloaded a pile of bikes to me. And he just, you know, he's got a thing going on. He's, you know, he's working on a small business. He's starting a bar. And he's trying to offload a bunch of his old motorbikes.
Wait, who's this? How did I not hear
about
this?
We're not going to name this exactly just yet. Come on, hold on. There's got to be some suspense.
I'll talk to you later.
Cluey. But yes, exactly. So we go and Josh and I went there the other day. And somehow we managed to get all this shit out of his warehouse with one Toyota Tundra pickup truck and one Kenden trailer. So we had, in the back of the pickup truck, we had an old Vespa 150. We had an older Allstate scooter.
Vespa scooter. I know who you're talking about.
Yep. And then on the trailer, what did we get on the trailer? We got the CB350. Oh, by the way, not just the CB350, but a 1970 square gas tank CB350.
Damn, I almost had that deal, too.
Oh, that beautiful. Bike is waiting to run.
Beautiful.
That bike just wants to run so bad.
Mm-hmm. No, I was going to...
Yeah,
build half that shit for him, but I was working on the 750, man.
I'm telling you, this CB350 just wants to run. Mm. And then Yamaha...
Any Honda wants to run.
That's true.
Any motorcycle, they're made to run.
They're made to run. It's just our fault why they don't.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I always tell people. Hondas exist in two states, running and about to.
And about to run.
Yeah. There you go.
They will run. You just need to make them run.
You need to make them run.
Well, case in point, Shane and I dug that one CB350 out of the marsh.
Yes.
And that night had it running in his garage.
It was a pure swamper.
It sat in a swamp for, I think, 6 years. And we pulled it out. We got snakes. I am not fucking kidding. Snakes came out of the exhaust pipes.
Yep.
And that night, we had it running in his garage.
And imagine poor Han is sitting there in the marsh for 20 years.
I am so ready. That's all they want to do.
I've been I'm waiting every day. I'm waiting for you to pull me out.
Oh God!
And I'm ready to go tonight.
If I could just get Samuel L. Jackson and get these snakes out of my damn pipes,
out of my motherfucking pipes.
And nothing can beat a fucking CB500.
Oh yeah, yeah. Oh God.
Those bikes can go through.
They can sit through a lot of awful.
You can say
they
that
can
for
take down anything.
You can say that for any CB.
Any CB.
Nothing there will be any CB.
So what they, comes
the
in?
The 500 does not want
to
stop.
Can you tell that Emmy's partial to the 500?
Yeah. She is.
The
I am. I mean, it's.
I'll tell you what. My little 350 will give you a run for the money.
Her pony.
So
we
pony.
Get the. I'm seriously the dark horse in the pile. Was a CL100.
What unicorn.
Year is, what
the
year is
unicorn.
This bike?
The
a
dark unicorn.
It's a 1970 CL100.
He was not a dark horse.
Okay, so this CL100.
The glimmering
was
unicorn
purchased.
Of magic glory rainbowness.
The dude we got it from got it from the original owner. And I'm not.
Total stock.
I wish to God I was kidding you. But this thing is factory stock. Right down to the toolkit.
Yes.
The toolkit was there and complete. Even the damned valve adjuster tool.
Wow.
The valve adjuster tool,
everything.
Which nobody's ever seen. Mm-hmm. So the valve adjuster tool is in the toolkit. The little tiny sliver of metal so you can adjust your valves was present. That little ridiculous chunk of metal that looks like a toothpick. That was there in the toolkit. It took a new 6-volt battery. You know, we changed the oil. We went through it. We're not savages. We didn't just fire it up and ride it down the street. But not kidding you, on 1970, 42-year-old tires, we rode that bike today. And
two up.
Two up. And a CL100 two up is not exactly the powerhouse you'd think it would be. But it runs great. And everything works except for the neutral light.
Yeah.
The neutral light's the only thing that doesn't work. So
that's the only thing that never worked on most Hondas.
Yeah, cracked headlight basket.
Well, you can never trust a neutral light.
No. Right. Never trust a green light. Never, ever trust a green light.
It may say you're in neutral,
but you're not
neutral.
You're not necessarily.
It usually
neutral.
Says you're in neutral between, like, third and fourth gear.
Well, that's the mystery neutral.
That's, that's the free neutral they give you when you buy your motorcycle.
Because I will slam that all the time. And I'm, like, going third to fourth, and I'm like, oh,
I get a free
wow!
Neutral. Hey, there's an extra neutral in my gear box. Remarkably, I would have loved to found something else wrong with this bike, but the right rear passenger peg was deformed, and that's only because when you kickstart this motorcycle, and it has no electric start, when you kickstart it, the first thing you have to do is fold up the passenger peg, or you will kickstart your fucking leg right into the passenger peg. And
yes.
I can tell you that it will take the scab off your leg. I burned my leg pretty bad last week at Mods vs. Rockers in Cleveland, doing a big old smoky burnout on a Royal Enfield. And I burned my leg.
You burned your leg then?
Did you see my leg, Dustin?
No,
it's gross.
It's gross.
I completely missed your burnout, sir.
Yeah, it's pretty gross. You see
oh,
that?
That's excellent.
Isn't that nice?
Yeah, fantastic.
That's a pretty good one.
I mean, I tap and go.
Yeah.
I have enough.
Emmy, when she burns her leg, she hits it and goes. Me, I'm trying to make the crowd happy. So of the second smoky burnout I did that day, the second one got me. But the second one got me on the infield pipe. But as I'm kickstarting the CL100, the kickstart lever comes back, and it just comes back as though it was surgically predestined to rip open the scab on my burn from last weekend.
That's
so,
why I ripped my burn open.
Ta-da! My healing process starts all over again.
Ouch.
And what are you drinking? Oh, there we go.
The champagne.
Oh, the High Life.
Le Champagne.
That is the official beer of the 45 Garage.
It is.
Would you hand me one of those?
Mm-hmm.
May I have one too, please?
Of course.
Well, that would make all of us then. Excellent.
Yay, all around. High Life's for all my friends. So we, this little CL100, it didn't take much kicking. It came to life. First one we've had in a long time that didn't need a carb clean, by the way. Isn't that
very
weird?
True.
That's
very
weird.
True.
The carb did not need cleaned. We took it for a honk and it was fun. We had a good time riding it. And then Emmy got to ride it on her own. I took the rape van down to the trailer place. We got a trailer hitch put on the rape van. Very, very fun. And the CL100, man, You know, everybody, if you have not had a small displacement motorcycle in your life.
It is super cute.
It's super cute. It's super cute. Get one, man, because they're so much fun and they're so eager to help you. They're like a loyal small dog. And we named
St. Bernard.
It's St. Bernard. It is so small. It's much. I think it weighs less than a St. Bernard. But we named it Clio because CL100, CLIOO. So it's named Clio now. And it's a great little bike, so we're really excited about it. But the only thing that's wrong with it is the tires are the factory tires from 1970.
And needs a new headlight.
And it needs a new headlight. The headlight low beam is burned out. And it's one of those freaky little small headlight sealed beams that Honda liked. So that'll be, but it's going to be a fun little bike for us. But yeah, it was nice to have that, you know, amongst all the other bikes we worked on recently. This little bike was like, it made us all very happy. Because it was just, it wanted to run so bad. It was cool.
Honda doesn't. They're made to run. You just have to remind them they're a motorcycle.
Yeah, you're a motorcycle, and you need to go. Yeah. The trick is, you know, I know a lot of people bitch all the time because 6-volt batteries are kind of expensive now. Not too many people carry good ones. What we use is if you go to Lowe's or Home Depot, you can go to the security lighting section where they have the alarm system lights.
The
gel
alarm batteries.
System lights, they'll have in their arsenal, they'll have these 12-volt and 6-volt little baby alarm system batteries. Now, because these motorcycles, all you're doing with the battery is supporting the turn signals and the coils. And you can use one of these little baby 6-volts. And they're not much more than $15. So don't pay like $60 or $70 for a baby 6-volt. This thing works great. It slots right in. You just change the terminal so you can use the proper spade connectors on it so you're not like ghettoing it up. And it worked great. We put that little alarm system battery in there and all the lights are bright and everything's happy. So yeah, I mean, it's really fun to have a little baby bike around the shop again. They're cute, you know. It's Kickstart only, you know. So
I took them everywhere.
We'll take that little baby everywhere. So that's fun.
I took him into shop meetings, so I was like, you need to come with us.
Yeah, she did. She walked it in. We had a shop meeting, and she walked it in. She was like, oh, you know, we want to look at it. And it's factory orange and white. And, I mean, I love the paint jobs from the 70s because they put so much metallic in them, and they all look like speed buggy. They all look like little bass boats running around. They're cool. They're pretty neat.
Speed buggy.
Yeah, I love nice. That stuff. I mean, it's cool. Josh, what's your deal, man? Where are you? I know that we are only a stop on the Josh D World Tour.
I try to get around. I have a good time.
Where is your girlfriend? Where's your girlfriend living?
Girlfriend's in LA, so I was working at NoHo Scooters for a little bit because if there's a place to sleep, then there's a place to work in a shop.
Yeah.
I was at NoHo Scooters, having a great time out there. Got taught in a shop in Denver, Colorado.
So NoHo Scooters is in LA.
Is in LA.
And that's there's an art district. Yeah, North Hollywood is
North
what NoHo
Hollywood.
Stands
for. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And so there's an art district that popped up around Mike Frankovich's shop.
Apparently.
When he got that place, it was low rent.
It was the middle
rent.
Of nothing.
It was literally,
it was
there was
the middle
nothing
of nothing.
Going on.
It was this poor little shop in the middle of nothing going on.
And it's on a main drag.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah, it's exactly. On a main drag, so it's like, if you miss it, it ain't real easy to loop around to.
No, not at all.
And
but if you get
highway.
Known as a good shop, then you're going to be the main shop for all of LA. So we're doing a lot of, you know, we'll do photo shoots and movie stuff and things like that. And that's just kind of fun. You
and
know,
Jay Leno's garage, like Jay Leno's warehouse, is blocks away from this place.
Yep. We help out with some of those.
And Mike is Mike's a really awesome guy. We love Mike Frankovich. I know he listens to the podcast. We'll give a shout out to Mike. Mike is one of my favorite people in LA. I just enjoy him so much.
He's great.
And he's a vintage car guy.
Mm-hmm.
And his dad was super heavy in the vintage car scene. And he's a very quiet, very unassuming. You wouldn't realize Mike Frankovich was tapped into the stuff he's into.
He's phenomenal.
One of my best stories about Mike is years ago, I found a CV450 Black Bomber. Mm-hmm. A real Black Bomber.
Right.
And it was on eBay. And it was in L.A. And I really, really wanted this bike. The original fucking owner from 1967, who put every mile on this bike, was selling this bike. Now, you can imagine how old that guy had to be.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because he bought it new in 67. And Mike went and bird-dogged this for me. Because, you know, you're buying something on eBay. You're not sure. Mm-hmm. And it's not a small amount of money to buy a Black Bomber. And Mike went out and bird dogged it. He checked it out and he was like, Phil, yeah, this is the guy. This guy's got all the original emblems and stuff in a box. He's got extra parts in a box. It's got a clean title. It's got a California black plate on it. And I'll tell you what, Phil, if you let me keep the California black license plate.
That sounds like a Mike Frankovich.
It's a Mike Frankovich line, right?
Yep, yep.
And Mike went and bird dogged it, picked the bike up for me. Mm-hmm. And seriously, Mike helped me out a lot buying that bike.
And he's your guy.
And Mike
is the best one.
He's seriously the best guy in LA to have on your side.
Checking your stuff out.
Yep.
Mike loves to live at an auction. Like
he sure does.
He's gonna find, and he's gonna float over a bunch of dumb stuff. He's gonna know this is stupid, and some other people are gonna. When he sees the good stuff, he knows the good stuff.
Yeah,
and he's gonna be in there.
It's great to have that kind of a.
He knows.
Yeah, it's great to have somebody out there for you in a city like LA, because LA can be a tough place to buy a bike.
It's a tough place for a lot of things.
Yeah. So it's really fun to go visit Mike's shop, and he's got arcade games and stuff in his shop. It's a lot of fun. If you're in Hollywood or if you're in LA,
you gotta stop it.
You gotta stop and check it out. It's so cool.
It's a good time.
Yeah, he's a good dude. So you were working at Mike's shop for a little while.
Mike's shop for a bit.
And then you come out here.
And I'm here.
I know, it's great to have Josh.
It's always great when I can squeeze in a good month and change in Cleveland. Cleveland's my favorite shop to work in.
Yeah, and summer in Cleveland's pretty awesome, so.
Yeah, of course. It is
very cool.
It is. Especially right by the lake. Look at this.
I know.
It's beautiful.
We're literally doing a podcast 20 feet from the water.
It's beautiful.
We just got done having
fun. Actually, the waves are probably coming over.
Yeah, you guys are hearing the waves.
You're hearing them.
We're right here, man. It's a nice, still night. It's quiet.
Mm-hmm.
The stars are amazing. You can see Cleveland in the distance. It's pretty nice.
Toronto's over there, right?
Toronto's way over there. Yeah,
way over there.
Yeah. Yeah, Toronto's over there. Yeah.
That's 30 miles.
Yeah. I think. We are the northern defense
against Canada.
Should Canada decide to invade, we are here to help protect us. What's the weirdest thing is we will see a U.S. Customs truck. There's a U.S. Customs Suburban that runs down Lake Road and like hangs out at Huntington Beach Park and everywhere else, as though Canadians were going to wash up on the shore.
Exactly. Ready to secede.
Because we need to have U.S. Customs agents, Homeland Security, in Avon Lake, Ohio, to protect us from wild, rampant Canadians.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, we're going to Mid-Ohio. What do you want to buy? It's Mid-Ohio, man. What's your dream bike? What are you going to buy if you stumble across one? Because I think I might be looking for some different stuff this year. I don't know. Every year we talk about what the dream bike is. Remember the one year I went out, I was looking for Honda CT110s. And I found a beautiful one.
I want a GPZ 750.
A GPZ 750?
Or 550.
I kind of want an RD.
Oh, you want an RD? An RD 350
would be good.
Or a big one?
No, a 350.
A 350, yeah.
Get the 400.
Nice. You get a 400?
Yeah, get the 400.
Yeah. We got a 350 at the Lakewood store. That red, white, and blue one. That red and white.
Yeah, the 350s nice. Have that problem with the crankshaft seal.
Right? Well, they all do. I mean, that's a labyrinth seal. Yeah. When you do a labyrinth seal, come and talk to me about it, and then I'll be like, dude, you are totally mechanic.
I mean, I have a 500. I don't want to go...
Bigger.
Bigger.
Now, wait a second. What motorcycle did you ride the other night?
When we had a few... 900 Thruxton.
Yeah, we had a few drinks, and there was a logistical problem where we had to get a girl away from the bar. And my Thruxton has only one seat. And so we left the Spitfire.
The Thruxton was. But the Thruxton's going to get me in a lot of trouble. Because I'm blasting Franklin at 50 miles an hour.
Okay, the last thing we said before we left the Spitfire was, I'm going to ride your pony, her 500, with this chick on the back who's had a few too many drinks. And she's doing everything on the back of the bike but be a passenger. She's trying to light cigarettes, talk on the phone, make comments. So I'm like, I'll take her on the back of your bike because she's got two seats. It's a legitimate bench seat. So I'll take the crazy drunk chick on the back of the bike, and you'll take my Thruxton because I trust Emmy to ride just about anything. She's proven herself at the shop that a 900cc is not going to scare her off. So she jumps on the Thruxton, and the last thing we said was, it's late at night, the bar is closing, we're okay to drive, but not too many other people are. So be careful, take no chances, drive slow, and let's just go home. It's what, a couple of miles, right? One side of Lakewood to the other?
From
a few miles.
Spitfire to my place is 2 miles.
2 miles. All right. So we take off on Franklin, and I'm like, okay, the game plan is we drive slow, and we get everybody home safe. And, you know, Penny's riding a buddy scooter. You're riding my Thruxton. I'm riding the CB500. And by the way, Emmy just didn't hand me the keys to her CB500. I explained the logistics of the situation. I'm like, we need to get this chick home to Penny's house.
I was not okay with
it. And she was like, I don't like other people riding my bike. Now, I willingly hand her the keys to every bike I own at the shop.
No, but this is my heart and soul.
This is your baby.
It's true.
And I grabbed her bike.
This is the only fucking thing I care about.
But you know the man riding it will replace it if anything happens.
If I ever damaged it, you know, like I said, if I broke it, I have a perfect one in my garage she can ride.
It's not totally perfect. The gas tank is the wrong color.
It's resprayed. Okay. All right. All right. It's not scratched up and damaged, but it is.
But resprayed. That raises a good point. I love you. Yeah. I love that thing.
Yeah.
If you broke that thing, right. I would love you less. And I don't want to love you less. I want to love you as much as I do right now.
Okay, so
okay to ride it.
I know Phil well enough that I would just let him have my house, my cars, you know.
Phil can have anything.
Take my cats.
But my bike.
It'll whatever. Be in better condition.
He can have any one of my bikes. I don't give a shit. He can have it all. I trust him.
Not my CB500.
It'll be in better condition when I return it than when I took it, or it'll have a full tank of gas.
Mm-hmm.
But
there's like a country song in there somewhere. You could have anything, but not my CB500.
Not my CB500.
No. That is the only fucking thing I care about. You can do not fuck up my mind.
Misplaced by the rules over here, we leave the Spitfire, and within 200 feet, she is at maximum acceleration on the thruster. And the crazy chick, not crazy. Okay, she's not crazy. She was drunk. All right. The drunk chick on the back of my bike is like,
speaking of drunk,
catch up to her. I want to pass her. And I'm like, we could not catch her or pass her if we had a Jado rocket strapped to this bike. She is gonzo. She is completely 100% full throttle on Franklin. And all I see is the tail light, the Lucas tail light of this Thruxton getting smaller and smaller and smaller in the distance. And her clutch stopped being a clutch 18 years ago.
Yeah.
Okay. So when you take my 200-pound ass and the drunk girl and you throw her and me together on a CB500 that's used to hauling around 120 pounds soaking wet with a helmet and jacket on.
120?
With a jacket and a helmet on.
Okay, jacket and helmet. Okay, I'll buy that.
I'm not trying to catch her. I'm driving responsibly. But she keeps getting smaller.
I'm used to the 500 and the feel of the 500.
Yes, and?
And feel of my 500 going 40.
Full throttle.
Is the Thruxton going 60.
Yeah.
Well, it exactly the same thing as like the night I accidentally raped Merrick's motorcycle. Phil comes over with it. Oh, I just put the power commander in and blah, 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 blah. Take this for a ride. I'm like, okay, cool. You know, I had just gotten off my CB350.
Which is pretty much full throttle.
Yeah, that I cane the hell out of everywhere I take it. So I'm like, cool. So I get on the bike and I take it down the road and I'm like, this fucking thing is awesome. I look down, I'm doing 95 miles an hour on a 35 mile an hour road.
Same thing with me.
I was just ripping down the road going, oh shit. And then I tried to baby the thing back, like, oh no, I'm gonna be
you
cool.
Can't. It wants I couldn't to go
keep
fast.
I could not keep that bike under 50 miles an hour.
Same with the Thruxton.
Yeah. It would not go less than 50.
Yeah. And we got this Thruxton. The dude comes into the shop over a year ago, well over a year ago, and he wanted to trade this Thruxton in. So I look at the Thruxton, and it's got, you know, 30,000 miles on, and it's leaking from everything. I mean, there's no part of this motorcycle that isn't leaking. So I'm like, oh,
it's
dude.
It's British.
Oh, no, but it's new British. It shouldn't be that way.
It's a feature.
It shouldn't be that way. Yeah, its feature is you can always tell where you parked it.
Yeah.
So so we tell him we'll take it in trade, this, that, or the other thing. And he disappears for over a year. We don't see the guy again for over a year. Yeah, and he shows up a month and a half ago. And he, a month and a half ago, he decides that, you want a menthol?
No, not a menthol.
Okay. Emmy's got non-menthols.
Oh, sweet. Emmy's
got blues. Too. Yeah. So the
thank you.
So the guy shows back up, and he's got the Thruxton, and now he wants to know if the deal's still on. I can assure you that in 1 year of this man owning this bike, it didn't get any better.
Mm-mm.
It just got worse. And
I don't have a light.
Yeah, here you go. And it's 31,000 miles on a Thruxton.
Of leaking oil everywhere.
And this man, I'm convinced, does not know the number for a mechanic.
Service was 39,500 miles.
I was
going to
say, the last service was his basic warranty service. I'm certain of it. Yeah, not cool. But it's fun with a Thruxton because when you come to a red light and you stop and then the smoke of the motor catches up to you, you get to smell what the motor smells like when it's really, really burning things.
Oh,
just doing the turns, like the straight angle turns.
Yeah, yeah. And but I will give you credit because a 900 Thruxton, even to me, feels like a big bike. And the Moto Guzzi 750 Cafe Racer feels small and compact, and it wants to dance through the turns. And the 900 Thruxton does not feel that way. The 900 Thruxton feels like you're horsing a bike around. I mean, it feels bulky.
Yeah.
It feels big, and I'm 6'1" and over 200 pounds. It's a very heavy bike.
I'm 5'5", 120.
Yeah, right.
At best, 120.
At 120 after a meal. And the Thruxton is kind of a horse, man. It's kind of a big bike.
No, it made me very nervous.
You didn't appear nervous.
When you told me I had to ride the Thruxton home, I was like, I don't know about this.
Well, it's a big shaky twin, too, mm-hmm. So.
Yeah, you're
used to that nice, smooth four-cylinder.
Yeah.
You know, the Thruxton's just a bouncy twin.
Well, and I didn't realize this until after I rode it, but her clutch, the way her clutch is, actually is a safety device. Because if you do anything too apeshit, the clutch is going to slip.
Yeah.
It's going to keep you out of trouble. And you were on the freeway the other day, and I think we were going to the Saxenheim. And
we
I was
were leaving it.
Yeah, right. And I was behind you on the Thruxton.
We were going to Spitfire.
Yeah, right. Yeah, we were going.
And I kept up with you.
Oh, no, you did fine. You did great. But I heard that clutch break free one time. I was like,
yeah.
I was like, well, that's got to be the top of second gear right there. So, top of second gear, that clutch was like, oh, I'm not going to do this anymore.
You got to rebuild your clutch.
Yeah, she's due for a clutch rebuild.
Yeah, just
I never rebuilt it.
Do the Barnett.
Yeah.
All Barnett plates.
All Barnett stuff, and we'll be so happy forever.
Dude, Barnett plates and springs.
Well, what are you going to do to that bike this winter? What's your plan?
I'm going to pull the motor.
Are you going to do the head gasket, too?
I'll do it all.
Yeah, do it all, because I think that head gasket, it's doing a typical Honda thing. The head
weeping.
Gasket's, yeah, the head gasket's pretty dark.
I mean, come on, it's what, 43 years old?
Yeah, it's an old bike, so it's a little younger than I am. So, yeah, so it's cool.
It needs a little work.
It needs a little work, yeah.
He'll trooper through anything. I mean, you can't fuck with the 500.
No, the 500's pretty great. I've had a couple of them, and I always loved them. They're just so cool.
So you got to be Mark's best friend with that, because he loves his 500.
He loves his 500.
He is all about the 500.
I love my 500.
Yeah, he loves that bike, man.
Yeah,
that's a great bike.
The only weak point of that bike is the shift rod.
Yeah, yeah, that's it. And if you don't hammer it, you're good.
Yeah, if you don't hammer it, you're fine, but you'll bend the shift rod easily on those.
Yeah. She's not a hammer. She's not out there hammering it. It's good to go.
When I follow you, I hammer it.
Yeah, and following Phil anytime, you have to hammer any bike you're on.
I'm hammering it, and I'm fucking leaking out the gasket.
And we found the head gasket leak. There's some new stuff coming out that's actually kind of exciting. Moto Guzzi is going to do a scrambler.
Really?
I don't know if anybody saw the prototype pictures of this thing yet. Yeah, it's really kind of sexy. You know, Triumph did their Steve McQueen scrambler.
Yeah.
And it's a heavy bike. But the Guzzi scrambler, the V7's a light bike. You know, comparatively speaking, the V7's well under 400 pounds.
Yeah, I can handle it.
Yeah, you have no problem on the V7's. And I like the power delivery. I like the V-twin. It's very good. It's very predictable. It's a good ride. And I'm very excited to see the scrambler. I think that's really kick-ass. I'm glad to see that coming out, because with the high pipes on, it's just damn sexy. It's a good-looking bike.
Oh, yeah.
Very, very exciting.
I don't know if you've noticed on Facebook, I've been posting a lot of, Moto Guzzi Cafe Racer pictures.
You know,
There's been some hot ones lately.
I recently purchased a motorcycle, and it was one of those ones that was...
Oh, really?
Did you? It's Phil's Bike of the Week. What did you buy this week, Phil? Yeah, okay.
Yeah, we do. We need a theme song for that.
Right.
What did Phil buy this week?
Right. So the bike I bought this week, let's take you through the ranks. It was listed on Craigslist. It was way, way east of Cleveland, out in Geneva on the lake. And it's a Honda. I'll give you that much. It has a pushrod motor.
Really?
Yep. It's never been known for its horsepower. The motors do apparently run forever. But it has pump-up air shocks. Very nice. It has shaft drive. It has there's a part of this motorcycle that's on your CB350.
Are we talking about the CL?
CX500.
CX500.
Nice.
So I bought a CX500 Deluxe. And the CX500 Deluxe.
Oh, the Deluxe has
the Deluxe.
The nice tank.
It has the awesome gas tank that we all want and love. It has the cool little awesome beautiful looking tail light with a little nacelle on the back of it. The only thing wrong with it is it has a kind of uppy righty handlebars, and it has the king queen seat. Now, we got this thing and it was a non-runner with the world's worst front tire. Somebody replaced the back tire, which is nice, and we did shoehorn on the wrong size front tire onto it, which meant we had to remove the front fender, but it looks sexy. With no front fender and the big fat tire on the front, it actually looks really good. And we changed its fluids and made it happy and cleaned the carbs out. And this thing roared to life. Well, I say roared because the previous owner took the factory Honda exhaust and surgically cut out the baffles. And I'll tell you, for the ghetto job that was done, it sounds awesome. Jetting changes will be required, but it sounds really nice. And when you're riding it, it sounds good. And we got it done just in time for Mods vs. Rockers so we could loan it to my sister-in-law's boyfriend to ride it around all week. And he had a great time. I mean, he hasn't ridden a bike in 20 years. Maybe 25 years. And so all he did all weekend for Mods vs. Rockers was rock the CX500. And he was so happy that he had a bike to ride. And for very short money, that bike has turned into a fun bike. We need to get it back from him. And then we need to wave our Cafe Racer wand over it. Because... you know, those, you look around and some CX500s that are done cafe style look beautiful. And they look like Moto Guzzis because that V-twin sideways motor. And they have kind of a neat look to them.
Oh, so, I've got some excellent examples of that.
Oh, God, it's going to be a fun bike when we get done with it. But it proved the point. I mean, it runs great. The motor is very happy and it just does everything it's supposed to do. And I got, for a couple hundred bucks a few months ago, I bought a CX500 that has that weird little factory headlight fairing that goes from the bars right into the fairing. It looks like a little Batman accessory. But you don't see it on too many bikes.
I thought those were the CX750s.
No, it's a CX, not 650, yeah. But it's this weird little headlight trim, and it looks really sharp. Hmm. So I'm going to steal all the parts off of that bike and make a nice cut-down seat for it, nice abbreviated seat. And by the time we get done, this little CX500 is going to look awesome. And we know the motor works good. So they were riding on the freeway at 85 miles an hour, having a good time on it. So that's going to be a fun, low-budget, I mean, super cheapo cafe racer. And it'll be cool because it's, you know, what is it? It's a CX500. It's shaft drive. It's totally reliable. A good bike for somebody.
That's funny because that was like my foray back into motorcycles.
Yeah,
was the CX500 that Shane had.
Yeah, they're kind of weird in their own right. They're kind of fun.
I got right back on that thing. I was just like, holy shit, you know?
Oh yeah, yeah. It's good times had by all. So what did we sell this week that we were kind of excited about? We
the cafe.
Yeah. After many, many hundreds of people looking and sweating and drooling and licking on the Moto Guzzi Cafe Racer.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, the V7 Racer.
Oh, you sold it?
Yes.
Yeah. I haven't ridden it yet.
Oh, man. Well,
God
there'll be more.
Damn it.
There'll be more, Dustin.
Well, I'm just going to go straight to the Grisio.
Yep, we sold that too. But
you sold that too?
We got a buyer. Yeah.
Damn. I thought you were going to keep that.
I think we're gonna jump a little bit. We're gonna leapfrog. I'm gonna keep the Penny Green, the special edition. I'm gonna keep that one around because I kind of like it.
That first Moto Guzzi you sold, though, I was riding with that dude.
Yeah.
And I hung with him.
Oh, Mike.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I hung with him on my 350.
Nice.
And we just blew fucking Russ Kellythorne out of the doors on his BMW.
Oh, Russ was riding his BMW.
Yeah.
You guys smoked him.
He couldn't even keep up with
us. Oh, that's awesome.
Because he had that brand new fucking Guzzi he bought off you. Yeah. So he's just like caning that thing. Every time a light turned green, it was just like full throttle.
So
go.
he's not so concerned about braking.
No. Because when we got where we were going to...
Hey, I'm happy he's having a good time.
Yeah, I caught the brake and I pulled in. He just kept going down the road.
Oh, that's great. Good for him. That's great.
No, he's enjoying that bike.
Is he having a good time with it?
He's having a great time with that bike.
Yeah, I gave him a Moto Guzzi patch and he was all like, oh, it's all fired up and excited about it. Oh, that makes me happy he's out riding the shit out of it, too.
He's riding the tits off that bike,
that's
man.
Awesome. That's so cool. Yeah, it's cool to see those bikes out and getting ridden, man. That makes me really happy.
They're meant to be ridden, man.
Don't sit and worship the thing at the shop. I mean, you know, we have a lot of people that come out and hang out, and they're like, oh, they just want to sit on it and talk about them and stuff. And this guy that bought the Cafe Racer, he knew that there's a line of people that, quote, want to buy it. He stepped up, and he's like, look, and he's got other motorcycles. And he stepped up and he bought this thing and he's like, I understand that you can't let me have it until another one shows up, but by God, he is the owner of that bike. I'm so happy for him because where everybody else was talking a bunch of smack, he manned up. And he manned up.
You can talk shit about the Guzzi.
Right, exactly, man. We love those bikes. They're really, really good. And he's an excited new owner. I'm happy to see that. Because they're cool bikes. I'm very happy to see that they're on the money. So what's the next big monster event that we have coming up? I mean, Mid-Ohio's coming up right away. I mean, hope this drops before Mid-Ohio. It'll give somebody to listen to on the way down. Oh, by the way, if you're a podcast listener, we love hearing from you guys. I was so nice at Mods vs. Rockers. I had at least 20 people show up to me and tell me they listened to the podcast. We did the launch from Cleveland Moto in Mentor. We had over 100 bikes in the parking lot. If you weren't there, and you live anywhere close to Cleveland, Ohio, and you were not at our launch that we had for this ride, yeah, they blocked intersections. John had a great time on his military KLR 650 doing wheelies and stopping traffic. They had such a good time. And we met so many cool people. There was only one Can-Am Spider. only one.
I saw him.
Yeah. Oh, but there was a... Did anybody see the custom Ducati that showed up? Somebody took a Ducati and made it into a bobber. A modern Ducati and made it into a bobber. And it looked... As much as I say, you know, that's a weird marriage, it looked so cool. It was awesome. So the ride that we had was so great. Everybody came out. We had a little speech before the ride left, and I got yelled at for using too much profanity. And they were very mad that I used so much profanity and that I also did not have a prayer.
Yeah, they wanted a prayer.
They wanted to have a prayer before the ride.
Oh, fuck that.
I know. Yeah, I just told them to drive fast and take chances.
Riverside down.
Shiny side up.
Shiny side up.
Right. Or in our case, flat black side up. It was a really good time. So get together with your friends. Go out and have some rides. It's a really, really good time. I strongly recommend it to everyone. If you are scooterist and you are looking for a good event, coming up in September is the Scooter Q in Columbus. This year the theme is some kind of Mexican wrestling thing.
Well, no, so, scooters, come to Mid-Ohio.
Come to Mid-Ohio, for Christ's sake. Yeah, Dustin's going to drop this right away. We're not going to give him any leeway. He's going to drop this shit now.
I have to now.
Get your ass to Mid-Ohio. Come out. The camping is free. When you get to Mid-Ohio, we will have our own separate scooter campground by the swap meet. Get into the swap meet. Check it out. Come and camp with us. Come and party with us. I'm bringing so much wood, we'll have a fire that lasts for 3 goddamn days. It's going to be a lot of fun. Bring your friends. Bring your scooters. It's Mods versus Rockers at Mid-Ohio. So bring your bikes out. Have a great time. Watch people go around the racetrack on motorcycles from the 20s. It's something everybody should see. The there will be a lot of events. You will not be bored. And you might buy a motorcycle for short money. And you can have your own podcast and say what awesome things you did to it. The long and short of it is please go out and ride your bikes. And no matter what you do, remember, that motorcycle sitting in your garage needs your love and attention. So turn your podcast up, go out in the garage, and turn some goddamn wrenches. Otherwise, you're going to be talking about that awesome motorcycle you're going to build someday. And the bikes need to be built and they need to be ridden. So please do. Anything anybody else wants to add before we sign out?
That's about it.
That's about motherfucking it.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah. Come out and visit us. You know, go support the shops that support you. Buy a magazine. Buy a helmet. Buy a quart of oil. Remind them that you exist. Because if you don't help them out, they won't be here next year.
Get your basic service.
Get your basic service. Oh, my God.
Don't wait for 5,000
miles. We resurrected a Honda CB750 the guy bought. He was the original owner, and he thought he needed a motor rebuild. And all he needed was some good, solid maintenance. And that guy's out riding that bike right now having a great time. So if you got an old bike in your garage, there's no reason to not be riding it. All right, and with that, we're going to sign off. It was wonderful sharing another hour or so with you guys. And from the best location on the nation, Lake Erie, Cleveland, Ohio, we're going to sign off.
Heck yeah.
Thank you for listening to Cleveland Moto. If you have comments or topic suggestions, you can leave them at our blog at www.clevelandmoto.blogspot.com or visit our website at www.clevelandmoto.com.